Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Appreciate everybody who makes this radio show part of their day statewide. If you're listening in Eugene, you're listening on Fox Sports Eugene. If you're listening in Klamath Falls, I appreciate you. You're listening on 960, the Fox affiliate there. Of course, in Portland, you have 750 The Game. We're exclusively now on the AM dial, 750 The Game. I guess that happened today exclusively, but a lot of you have listened on 750 AM for years. And the 102.9 signal was a translator that mostly you could get in the Portland metropolitan and downtown Portland area. And that has gone away. It's gone to the hip-hop world. Hip-hop is back. But I appreciate those of you who are listening to the show and tweeting at me, telling me that you're locking in 7:50 a.m. I want to go to a place that I used to live, Tallahassee. Lived there for a little while. And our next guest covers Florida State for 24/7 Sports. His name's Brendan Sonnen, and he does a great job covering this team. I have been following his work. Brendan, how are you, man?
I'm doing well, John. Thanks for having me.
What is the mood there? Like, try to capture it for us outside. Are you in the dumpster fire, or what is going on?
I mean, there's a lot of frustration, and when I say a lot of frustration, I mean the fan base. I mean the program. There's frustration. Obviously, the winning hasn't happened yet under Willie Taggart. He's 6-9 as Florida State's head coach. And you know, last year, I think a lot of people were willing to be understanding that there was a overhaul with offensive scheme, that the offensive line was something Willie Taggart inherited and couldn't fix him in year one. But the frustration, I think, that you're seeing in a lot of places is repeat issues. So penalties being too prominent and costly, not finishing games very well. There are just recurring trends that are leading to frustration. So yeah, I mean, the mood isn't what I would call ideal right now.
The mood of Taggart as he sort of tries to work through this, I know it's easy to criticize because things aren't going well for him. Is he handling it well, or is he sort of fanning the flames some?
So there's a couple of layers to that question, John. And overall, I think Willie hasn't necessarily helped himself out in a few instances. I mean, going back to the Hydrategate deal a couple of weeks ago, it was just an unnecessary. You know, the comment was what it was, and it got blown out of proportion, which is what happens when you lose. That's to your initial points. Like, you're losing, everything gets magnified, I think. And so, we, myself and the media, fans, local media, national media, everyone kind of focuses on the minutia. But like, for the example of the Hydrategate, that was a dead story. And ESPN, I think, did probably stretch what he said a little bit, but he did make a reference to the Boise State game and not being hydrated. And then so, it becomes a story. He said on Monday night, it becomes a national story on Tuesday. He never said they lost because of that game. That gets blown out of proportion. But then he holds an impromptu press conference on Wednesday that extends that deal by a day. And to me, that kind of personifies like just not handling the pressure well. There's no need to really address it in that manner. I don't think it helped him. I don't think it helped the program. And then obviously you have the losing. So yeah, I think there's things Willie can do to maybe help himself out. But again, some of it's nitpicky because there is a lot of losing and things aren't going well. I think that's kind of the deal when you are failing to live up to expectations that are pretty high at a program like Florida State.
The Virginia game ends on a play that, Willie's asked about after the game. And, from 3,000 miles away, the narrative is, well, he threw Kendall Briles under the bus. Did he do that?
Mm-hmm. No, that's another example. That's a good example of there's a quote there. It doesn't sound good. Again, I don't think Willie had to say it that way. He was kind of gruff after the game. There's a few things he was just really short with and didn't expound on, and I think that hurts him a little bit. And the quote obviously doesn't sound good with that context. I think even with the context of how he was asked about it, doesn't necessarily help it. I don't think it was 100% throwing Kendall Briles under the bus, You know, he made it clear like he didn't call the plays, but he went back today and said that he liked the play call. He thought it was a decent play call and had a chance to work. It just wasn't executed properly. So the inability to kind of clarify and articulate like what you're trying to get across, I think hurts him there in that instance. I don't think it was a huge shot at Kendall Briles, but it didn't come off as a ringing endorsement and a lot of support in that moment too. And I think that's the issue that a lot of fans and people across the nation that see the quote, how they absorb that.
Brendan Sonnen is our guest, Florida State beat reporter for 24/7 Sports. He's got his finger on the pulse of things in Tallahassee. Is the administration there, I mean, is Willie in jeopardy of losing his job, or is the $17 million they'd owe him, is that enough of a deterrent that, you know, they're kind of going to have to stick with him for a while?
That certainly makes it difficult, right, now, when you're factoring that in. But I'm always kind of a believer, and you probably know this from being around college athletics as long as you have, that, you know, people can find money if needed. And now I think it depends how Florida State looks this season. And I don't think it's necessarily just the losing. I think it's the way the losses are occurring and some of the optics of not having great PR moments like we've talked about here in the last few minutes of what I mentioned early on when I joined the show. The reoccurring issues, you know, not showing growth in certain areas, such as penalties and looking undisciplined, or having trouble closing games and not winning, not learning how to win. Those are things that I think are more frustrating to administration than just the losing. So I think we have to see what the whole season looks like before we can say, oh, this isn't working with Willie Taggart, and before administration can look at maybe, you know, making what's a really sizable buyout. He said $17 million, and that's over 4 years. Which makes it a little bit more palatable, but for you know, an athletic program that's having to really kind of cut costs in some other areas and find a way to make things work, like, that's not easy to do by any means. So long answer short, like, I don't think he's in jeopardy of losing it right now, but if they continue to pile up losses and not look good along the way and not show enough growth, then that's something that certainly is evaluated by the end of the year, I'd imagine. Yeah.
Jim Leavitt, former Oregon defensive coordinator, a guy who knows a lot of football, joins the program as a defensive analyst. Is that a potential move where Leavitt could slip in as a head coach? Was it the administration saying to Willie, hey, let's get you some help, let's get a guy you're comfortable with? How did you read that move?
Yeah, I think it was trying to get Willie some help, and it's a guy who Willie Taggart really likes his scheme, likes the way he devises defensive game plans, like the kind of defense that Jim Leavitt runs, which is that, you know, from Oregon was that 3-4 kind of multiple hybrid front type of scheme. And Willie thinks that would ultimately fit in well with the personnel that Florida State can recruit in its area and be multiple. So they thought, yeah, okay, let's get a hired hand, because right now Willie Taggart doesn't seem to have a lot of trust in defensive coordinator Harlan Barnett. They overhauled the entire scheme that Harlan was brought in to run last season. They overhauled this offseason to look a lot like something Jim Leavitt runs. So this, to me, was a pretty clear sign that Florida State wants to give Willie Taggart help and wants to give. Yeah, right now it's tough to make a change in the middle of the season, but I imagine Jim Leavitt didn't come to Florida State just to be an analyst. I imagine that he has the ability to become a full-time position coach, if not a defensive coordinator, by next season.
I'm looking ahead for things, and, you know, I look at, the out of the gates this season, they lose one to Boise State. They barely survive an opponent that has no business being in a game with Florida State. Then they lose to Virginia. What's the low point, in your opinion, this season?
This is going to sound weird. The win against ULM, the lone win they have, against Louisiana Monroe. You know, I'll say this, John. So earlier you asked me like what the vibe is around the program, and it feels so much better today than it did last Monday.
Wow.
Last Monday felt like a loss, and it was just wasn't that it was a close game necessarily. It's like you blow a 21-point lead, you really don't win the game as much as ULM just shanks the extra point, right? So,
right.
So that to me, I think, was the part of the season that really had players. You know, I've reported this on the website that there are people. Within, you know, players within the program who were starting to kind of question things last week. And credit to Willie Taggart, I will say this, like, he's still getting the team to play hard for him. They played hard against Virginia. They didn't play particularly well down the stretch. They didn't play smart football. He said as much. But you watch that full game, they played hard, and so he still has him doing that. Now, how many of those more losses are can you take to where the guys aren't? But, yeah, there's the ULM game. To me, it really felt more like a loss than a win for the fan base, and that was probably the most frustrating time I've seen covering the Willie Taggart tenure, where I saw a lot of people who were really on board with him kind of starting to jump ship a little bit.
Saturday they'll play at home against Louisville. How will the crowd be for that game?
I can't imagine it's going to be a great turnout. If the ULM game, which was one of the lowest they've had since I think it was 1988, was, and you know, I was born in 1988. I'm 30 years old, so it was one of the low, and I think that was right. I could be wrong. It was one of the lowest attended games they've had in a long time. If they'd beaten Virginia, I think they would have seen a little bit of a bump, but it's a 3:30 game, so it's going to be hot out in Tallahassee. I think they're going to struggle to have a great crowd, which real quick, like to the point of, you know, can Florida State afford a buyout? Like if the attendance keeps dropping and the losses continue to mount, like that's something else you have to factor as a football program or an athletic program in general. Football is your main source of revenue. And if the program isn't good and you're losing money, and the product is poor, you start weighing like, okay, what's the long-term effect of not getting people in the seats at football games?
At Oregon, when Willie Taggart arrived, there were a couple of hiccups out of the gate. You know, his offensive coordinator got a DUI, had to be fired. The strength and conditioning mess. The team came out, and in 9 conference games, he got shut out 4 times in the second half. There were some problems. Like, you could see that, hey, there's some markers here. But we always believed he could recruit here, and it was, you know, it was evident. Is this just a case of a guy who's a really good recruiter but maybe not a head coach, or is there something else going on?
Well, so right now, I mean, we have to look at the evidence that we have in front of us, right? And you have 1 year at Oregon that you got to see him up close and personal. And yeah, there's certainly some flaws, but there are some strengths too, from my understanding. Correct me if I'm wrong there, but they did get better and from the year before. You look at what he did at USF, and it was a razor-thin margin. Like he almost got fired in 2015 before they beat Syracuse and really turned things around that year, won 8 games and won 10 games the next year. But I think his strength is recruiting. I think he's a great, great recruiter, and he assembles a staff that's really good at recruiting too. So that's a strength that I don't want to just say like that. That's one of the biggest appeals to him coming to Florida State, was he knew how to recruit the Florida area. You saw what he did this offseason was awesome. They were a top 10 class given what they had last year on the field and some of the product they have to sell. But you know, right now, like, I don't know what else he is as a head coach. He's apparently someone who can turn cultures around. Like that was a selling point that he had at Western Kentucky and at USF. We didn't get enough time to see what it is at Oregon. And I'm kind of afraid for him, for his job at Florida State, that he may not have enough time if they continue to lose. Like, you can see that, like I said earlier, these guys are playing hard. I think there's something valuable to that. I think he does a good job of knowing his weaknesses as a head coach and surrounding himself with guys like Jim Leavitt or here at Florida State, like a Kendall Briles, who's doing a really nice job, I think. So he can do those things, but how that all pretends and leads to being a quote unquote like a good head coach at the Power Five level, like that remains to be seen. And right now, the track record is a sub 500 record as a Power Five head coach.
And before I cut you loose, and again, we're listening to Brendan Sonnen, who covers Florida State for 24/7 Sports. Is to be fair to Willie, was there something about Jimbo Fisher's departure? Did he leave the cupboard bare? Was there something that, you know, when Willie walked through the door, he was battling more than just being the new guy?
Yeah, man, I think so. And we knew there would be some of that coming in. I don't think any of us knew it would be quite as bad in some of the cultural issues. But you look at, like, what the APR rate was under Jimbo Fisher. They had an academic progress rate under Jimbo. And it was getting worse and worse. And we heard stories of players just not going to class and attendance just being pitiful. You knew the chemistry on that coaching staff under Jimbo was not very good at the end. And hence, I think that affected player development for a couple of years. The offensive line in particular was atrocious how it was developed. Some of that's bad injury luck, but it was a mess. So there were things that Willie Taggart had kind of up against him, but you know, a lot of head coaches have that. I think Willie made some missteps with how he pitched the job to the to the public. He could have done pulled a Scott Frost like did at Nebraska and say this is going to be a reclamation project and it's going to be a little bit of a slow burn. That's not what Willie said. I think he misevaluated what the situation was and that really cost him and was very much so a lost year. You know, if this team was playing the way it is now last season, I think people would be okay with that if this was like a year one performance, but it's not. You had that whole year that looked like a debacle and looked really disorganized, and some of that was on the culture that Willie inherited, but we're in year two now. I'm not saying you fix it all in 1 year or even 2 years. I think you do need a little bit of time, but certainly some alarming signs where you're not seeing quite the progress that you would like to see in the win-loss column.
Are you seeing the Florida State flags around town? Governor Square Mall, mm-hmm. Are people still sporting the Florida State? Is Governor Square still a mall there?
Yeah, it is. It's one of only two malls.
Are people still wearing their stuff with pride?
Yeah, they are. They are. I think there's a lot of frustration, but I'm still seeing Florida State stuff all over the place. This is still, it's Tallahassee, and Florida State's the biggest show in town. So I don't think that changes. I do wonder who's going to go and put up money to go watch games, though. Sometimes the product isn't great on the field. I do think that attendance is going to hurt, but I don't think people are going to stop wearing their Florida State shirts anytime soon.
Brandon Sonnen covers Florida State. Brandon, thank you, man. I really appreciate you making time for us.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
All right. There he is from Tallahassee, where Willie Taggart is trying to right the ship. I had somebody tweet at me over the weekend. The guy tweeted, "I really should let this go, but it's too much damn fun." And here's the thing. Willie Taggart's being paid $25 million, $30 million to coach Florida State. His buyout is now $17 million that they would owe him. He will be a rich man at the end of it, in which I think, part of that pressure, part of the expectation is tied directly to the fact that he's the head football coach at a major university. He took the job. He gets the check. With that comes expectations and, frankly, comes the ridicule if you don't get it done. If you look like you're overmatched, people are going to say, that guy looks like he's overmatched. But there's sort of there's a little gasoline on this one. And it has to do with the fact that Willie ditched Oregon. I think people in the Pacific Northwest are feeling like vindicated or maybe there's just a little extra, as Adriana says, it's a little salty. There's a little salt there for Oregon fans in particular. But I gotta say that I think there is really a lesson that is buried in this for Mario Cristobal. And I will ask Mario Cristobal about this on tomorrow's show. I'm going to ask the Ducks coach specifically about this. Is he paying attention at all to what's happened to his former head coach who had a pretty good situation in Eugene and left it for his quote-unquote dream job in Tallahassee? I think Willie Taggart would have been far better off to sit at this Oregon job for 3 or 4 years, proof of performance, grow as a head coach, get to compete against some Pac-12 teams before throwing himself onto the stage that is Florida State football. I think it was a much safer place to exist, as Chip Kelly might attest to, in Eugene than it is to be on the stage in the NFL or to be at Florida State. I wonder if Mario Cristobal, based on this Willie Taggart thing, is willing to come out and say, you know what? I am watching it, and you do have to be happy for where you are without, looking around too much, because there's a real danger in jumping to a job that maybe you're not ready for or you won't be successful in, because this is going to end with Willie Taggart one way or another, one season or another, getting fired. He will get fired at the end of this. I'm not saying he's getting fired now, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a year from now, year and a half from now, when the buyout comes down some, that Florida State backs away from this dumpster fire and says the guy could really recruit, but he's not a head coach. And at that point, I don't think he's a head coach. I think he's a recruiting coordinator in some major college football program, unless he wants to go back to University of South Florida or somewhere like that. Is there a lesson that Mario Cristobal can pay attention to or learn from? I'll ask him that. All right, coming up, the 2 at 2, the two biggest things in sports. On Friday, I kind of felt like I felt like we were having a bad show. Not a bad show. I thought the energy... I'll take that back. It wasn't a bad show. I felt like the energy of the show was weird. It was off. It was just a strange show. And I think that sometimes happens when you get into a rhythm and then you get a game like Oregon was home on Saturday against Montana. I just don't think that the Duck fans were all that interested in talking a lot about a game that was a throwaway game. And they were kind of like, hey, Stanford's a week away. And I think the Beavers fans, who have been through a start to this season, certainly was disappointing losing the game at Hawaii. I think they were a little nervous going into the Cal Poly game that it wasn't going to go their way, and they got a W. And then it was Friday the 13th, and we had a full moon, and I brought on Clyde Lewis from Ground Zero. It's a very interesting character who I love having on the show. I think that I was worried that I brought him on and maybe the diehard sports fan who wanted to hear about sports would be put off. And then something weird happened in the last 20 minutes of the show, which I thought was going to be like, there are some days where I feel like that, like, hey, we're humming along and I look up and it's 2:26 and I'm like, man, where did the show go? Like today. There are other days where I look up and it's 2:26 and I go, and it was at this point on Friday that I looked up, we had just had on Clyde Lewis, and I thought to myself, either the listeners are going to tune out here because I just brought on a guy to talk about Friday the 13th and they don't care, or B, they were like me, they were going to be really interested in that and in a mood on a Friday to talk about things. And the phone lines, almost on cue, lit up with people calling into the show to say, one guy said that he loves the show and he thinks that I'm a better person now. I thought that was an interesting call. I didn't know quite how to take that. I went home and I told my wife, I said, somebody called into the show and said, I'm a better person now. Is it possible that I'm a better person? And she was like, I don't know. How do you feel about that? Like, it was a weird phone call. Like, I didn't expect that. Not in a weird, bad way. It was just I had to step back and go, am I better? I know I'm a better radio show host. I always feel like, too, that we all strive to be better people. Like, tell me if I'm crazy, but don't you want to be a better person tomorrow than you were yesterday? Don't you want to be a better person in a year than you were last year? But the reality of that is, I just don't know if that is possible, because that would assume that we're all born and we're horrible, rotten, creepy people, and then we get better and better over the course of our lives until we're... No, baby comes into the world innocent. So at some point of their upbringing or their young life, you know, you become corrupted. Like, for example, the three-year-old this morning, taking her to preschool. I noticed she was very quiet in the back of the car. She had... wasn't asking anything, wasn't talking. This is not like her. And I looked back and I noticed she was eating something. And I thought to myself, what the heck is she eating? You know, so I kind of said, what do you got back there? She didn't answer. I found out later, you know, those little Smarty candies, you get them at Halloween, the little roll, it's like sugar or crack, whatever that is. She had found a roll of those in the cup holder, and she was at, you know, 7:45 in the morning, getting herself a nice nutritional snack that
score.
I won't tell mom about. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, those candies?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Those are like straight out of, like, the only thing worse could be like that giant stick that has sugar in it.
Yeah, I always, they might as well just grind it up in a spoon and freebase it. It's pure sugar.
Yes. What was your guilty pleasure as a kid when it came to that candy? Go around the room. Go ahead, Peter.
Reese's Pieces, hands down.
Reese's Pieces.
Oh, yeah.
I like the Fun Dip.
Oh,
remember the Fun Dip?
Get it all over your face. Got like a green,
but
the green powder.
Ultimately, I would skip steps, though, and I would just pour that bag of sugar right into my mouth.
God, you might as well snort it, John.
Intern Jack, what was your guilty pleasure?
Probably like Swedish Fish.
Oh, the Swedish Fish.
Yeah.
I hate those.
They're disgusting.
They're all stuck in your mouth, but I kind of like
yes.
it.
Yes. Bella, you have one?
I love all candy, but my favorite was Milk Duds, and still is.
Milk Duds. She's a Milk Duds person. So, at some point, my point is, you get corrupted. Maybe you try to find your way. Am I a better person than I was a few years ago? I hope so. I know I'm a better radio show host, though. I know I do a better job hosting the show, but I got to thank the listeners who called in and everybody who said something to me afterwards, because I was kind of wondering, and you have those moments as a host where you take a chance on something, right? And bringing on a guy to talk about UFOs and aliens on Friday the 13th is taking a chance, all right? That's the definition. Like, I was in, unbalanced right formation, empty backfield. I'm running the Statue of Liberty at that point, all right? So I run the play, and then I look around the stadium, and I go, I wonder if anybody's still in the stadium. And lo and behold, so many of you tweeted at me. So many of you called in. Very humbling experience to have the end of the show go that way. And I'll admit, we start today's show, and I got to be honest with you, I didn't know when they were going to take the 102.9 FM signal away from the sports station. I knew it was coming. I kind of hinted at it to you. If you're a careful listener, you picked it up. And if you're in Eugene in Klamath Falls, I apologize to you because this means nothing to you. But in Portland, we have been simulcast on both 750 AM and 102.9 FM for a few years at least. And obviously, as a show host, I worry about the show, right? I don't want to have to worry about the signal and are you listening or do you have your thing? But I tried to do a good job of reminding you to get to 7:50 a.m., but I'm still getting a few tweets today from people who are going, hey, I'm hearing music, and I'm going, get yourself to 7:50 a.m. if you're in Portland or you listen to it on the game in Portland. And if you're listening on a podcast, this doesn't mean anything to you either. But I got to admit, like off the top of the show, I was a little bit like, okay, how? Because you just don't know. How's that going to affect people? How do people listen? I always listened on 7:50 a.m. when I wasn't hosting the show. So to me, there's no change. But if you're somebody who, was used to listening on that FM dial, you're going to be really confused today when you tune in and you get a Chris Brown song instead of the BFT. So is that right? Did I get that right? Would that be the kind of song that would be on that station?
Yes, most likely.
Okay. So there it is. And I was, again, humbled about 30 minutes into the show when I realized our listeners are getting it. They're smart. They know where to go. And frankly, if you're somebody who works inside and you had been listening on 102.9 and you're like, hey, I couldn't get the AM in my building, you could always stream the show. I know you can get it on TuneIn and other kinds of apps. I also know you can go to 102.9. You can go to, here's a better way to go, baldfacetruth.com. You know why? Baldfacetruth.com will never let you down because I'm in control of that and I will always point it to wherever the signal is. So if you're traveling, you're out of the area and you want to stream it on your phone, all you have to do is go to your browser, go to baldfacetruth.com, and then it'll have a button literally that says listen now. You can punch on it and you can listen right to the show. It's all free. Okay. So I hope that helped. If you're somebody who's struggling with it, I'd love to hear your experience on it. You can call in 503-417-7575. Or if you're an AM listener and you want to just brag that you've been with this show for a decade or more, you can do that as well. And I'm starting to hear that in Eugene. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but when we take calls, we're getting all sorts of new names out of Eugene. And the affiliate there in Eugene does a tremendous job. I got to thank Steve. Steve put my mug on the side of a bus down there that is shuttling people in and out of Autzen Stadium. I apologize to those people who have to look at me while they're going in and out of the stadium, but he's promoting the heck out of this show, and there's an army of listeners in Eugene and certainly Corvallis and Salem and Portland that listen to the show on a daily basis, and I appreciate you all. All right, phone lines are open. 503-417-7575. The 2 at 2 coming up as well.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.